All right, so we are holding on Kuf Lamed Gimel on the day, six lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that if a Yisrael is a partner with a Kohen or with a Goy, that he's potter from Matanis, and to be exact, what we said is if he's a partner with a Torech Lusha, he has to mark the meat, which is actually in Tosfos, that he has to mark it so that people realize why he's not giving them Matanis. So according to the Rambam, he has to mark off the actual part. But we also talked about the idea that suppose that he's a partner with the Kohen, we learned in Braitha, suppose, for example, that he has a partnership with the Kohen as far as the head, where the Kohen owns the head or some portion of the head, then he's potter from Lechi, from Chayayim. Similarly, if he's a partner in the pool leg, then he's potter from Zeruya, and so
we could derive that from...
No, because it's not the same thing. In general, we're saying if he's a partner, then he's potter entirely. But specifically, if he's a partner in the whole animal, because then every part of the animal he's a partner in. But specifically, if they're only partners in the head, then we said he's potter from only l'chayayim and so. So the question,
not the
zroya and not the cave. So it boils. So they have the question: what if it's six lines from the bottom, line against the line against Kishon? Whatever. Okay, so now we have a question. What if it's the other way around? What if it's the other way around? What if the Kohen is selling the Shochet, the head? He's saying the whole rest of the animal belongs to me, but the head is going to belong to you. Is the Yisroel going to have to give the Lechayayim to the Kohen, or is he going to be punished? What's the deal? The Kohen says the head is going to belong to you, the Yisrael, and the rest of the animal is going to belong to me. Do we go according to the portion of the animal on which the chiyuv is? The chiyuv gabe Yisrael. In this case, the part of chayah belongs to the Yisrael. Or maybe we go according to the main part of the animal, the ikka behema, the Kohen, when the main part of the animal belongs to the Kohen. So, Toshma, we learn in a braisa. If a goy, this bride is talking about Reishas Hageiz, but then it's going to relate also to Zeruya L'Chayayim Teva. Relax. We know that people are going to be talking to you. It can't be helped. If we were sitting in our normal place, we'd have the right to tell them, but whatever. So, Toshma. If a goy or a koyin give their sheep to a Yisrael to shear for them, Potter, then he's Potter from Reishas Hageiz because they're the Yisrael, because the animal belongs to a Kohen or belongs to a Goy. So therefore the Yisrael is Potter. On the other hand, and the Braisa continues, Halakeach Geiz Sonesh Al Oved Kechavim. Also if a Yid buys the sheared wool from a Goy, also Potter, even if he buys the wool even before it's sheared. So in other words, he makes a deal with the Goy. So there's the first case was that the Goy owns the animal and he gives it to the Yid to shear. He's hiring the Jew to shear the animal for him. The second case we're talking about here is where the Jew buys the wool from the Goy before it's sheared. So the animal belongs to the Goy, but the Yid makes a deal with him. When you shear this wool, it's going to belong to me. So also Potter. He's also Potter. And because he's potter, because the animal belongs to the Goy. Potter Mireshus HaGez, and he's potter from Mireshus HaGez, and the Braisa says, V'zeh choymer mizroya uv'chol yayim v'keva yoyte Mireshus HaGez. This is a chumrah in Zroya l'chayayim v'keva more than Mireshus HaGez. Where such a rule, we said that he's potter from Mireshus HaGez. This that we're saying that in a case like that he's potter from Reishas Hageiz, whereas with Zeruya L'Chayayim V'Keva he would be chayev shmamina bosa chiyuv azlin. That shows that when it comes to Zeruya L'Chayayim V'Keva, we go according to what part is chayev. So we're saying in the case of Reishas Hageiz, even though it's the wool that's chayev and the Yid bought the wool, nevertheless he's potter. But the implication, and the Braisa is saying that Zeruya L'Chayayim V'Keva is more of a chumrah, therefore it means that any part to which Zeruya L'Chayayim V'Keva applies, if it belongs to the Yisrael, is chayev. Shmamina, so that proves it, bot the chiyuv azlinim, that we go according to the part of chayev. Good, Shmamina, that proves it, and therefore the answer is that if the head belongs to the Yisrael and the rest of the animal belongs to the Kohen, then yes, the Yisrael is going to have to give L'Chayayim to the Kohen. Then the Mishnah said, "V'im amar lechutz min hamatanis." If the Kohen was a partner, that if they co-own the animal, then every part of the animal is part of the Yisrael, part of the Kohen, so then he's potter. Because every part of the or a girl, yeah. Because every part of the Zoya, every part. No. Then we said in the Mishnah that if the Kohen says to the that if when he's buying the animal, if he says chutz mina matonis, so the Kohen says to the Yisrael, I'm selling you this animal except for the matonis. Then we said chutz mina matonis. Then we said Yisrael is chutz from matonis because they belong to the Kohen. So the question is, a Raminu, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braita says that if the Kohen sells an animal to Yisrael, and he says, I'm a nasha matonis shali, that I'm selling it to you on condition that the matonis, when you take them, should, when you take them off, should go to me. Yeah. Then the din is noisim l'chol Kohen shayirta. The din is that Yisrael does not have to be bound by that agreement. He can give it to any Kohen that he wants. Yeah. So that's the question. So the Mishnah is telling us that if the Kohen says, I'm selling you this animal except for the matonis, then you have to give the matonis, and then the matonis automatically belong to that Kohen. But we see from this Braita that it's not necessarily like that. They could belong to any Kohen. So therefore, why shouldn't the Yisrael have to give them to the Kohen? Now, Tosfos, okay, so one thing about Tosfos we'll get to in a second. The answer is, Almanapa chutz koromis. You're trying to bring a contradiction between the word almanap and the word chutz. There's a big difference. Chutz shiura, when the Kohen says, I'm selling it to you chutz, aside from the matonis, that means I'm not selling you the matonis in the first place. So therefore, they actually belong to the Kohen. Had it been a Yisrael who was doing the same thing, then the lekeach would be fired because he's the one shechting the animal, and therefore he's obligated to give the zroi lechayai in the cave, even though those actual parts don't belong to him. He would be obligated to give them to the Kohen and then reimburse the other guy for giving them.
To which Kohen?
If you had a similar case with two Yisrael, if one Yisrael says to another, I'm selling you this animal except for the Zroel Chayayim Lateva, the din would be the one who's shechting the animal, namely the one who owns the whole rest of the animal, is going to have to give the Zroel Chayayim Lateva to the Kohen. And then he's going to have to reimburse his partner because that's the case of Chutz. The Chutz is Shiura. He's leaving something out that's unsold in the first place. Almanas lav shiura. On the other hand, when he says almanas, that I'm selling to you on condition, he's not excluding anything. He's saying, I am selling you 100% of the animal, but I'm putting a condition on the sale, namely that I should get the matnas kohona. So the point is, therefore, he doesn't have the ability to make such a condition because the matnas kohona don't belong to him yet. The Tosfos asks the question, in that case, if you make a t'nai on a sale, and the t'nai is not fulfilled, then the sale is bottled. So in that case, if he doesn't end up giving them to this Kohen, why don't we say the sale is bottled anyway? The Tosfos gives two answers. One is that they made the t'nai was not something that would cancel the sale. They said, I'm selling you this animal on condition that you give me the matonis, but we're not making that a make or break t'nai. If you don't keep it, then the sale is still valid anyway. Then therefore it's still a valid sale. So that's one answer. Is if he said it's a make or break tonight, if you don't give me this, then the sale is bottled, then sure, the sale is bottled. So he'd have to say that's one explanation. Then it would be Stamat Nai is probably a make or break thing. But anyway, that's one answer, Tosfos says. The other answer is it doesn't matter. It's a case of Masna al Mashakos of Vatorda. You can't make a t'nai against something the Torah says. The Torah gives the balabas to give the ability to give the matonic to whoever he wants. So therefore the Kohen is not able to make a t'nai against that, and therefore the t'nai is bottle and the sale still stands. That's first the second answer. Okay. So the Gemara says a Raminu. Okay, but I have another contradiction. So far we're saying that if he says chutz, then the matonic still belong to the Kohen, therefore the Yisrael is bottle. Whereas he says, I'm a nas, and the matonis belong to the Yisrael, therefore he has to give them to a Kohen, but he can give them to whatever Kohen he wants.
So we don't say the Torah prevails.
No. Again, if we say I'm a nas, so that's the point. The Kohen does not have the ability to tell him I'm a nas, and therefore you must give me the matonis. He has to give the matonis to somebody, but it doesn't have to be to that particular Kohen. But if he said chut, that means he's not selling the matonis in the first place. The matonis still belong to the Kohen. Therefore, the Yisrael is possible. So that's the difference. That's the distinction between chutz and amanah. The problem with that is, I have another contradiction. Another braita says, almanas shamatonis shali hamatonis shaloi. That if the Kohen says, I'm selling you this animal almanas on condition that the matonis are mine, then the matonis are his. Rabbi say, we're having to learn where we don't, not where we usually do because there's swinging in there, but if it's at all possible to have the conversation not gaffed in front of us, please. Exactly, and we can't hear a word you're talking. I understand you have, you want to have a conversation. There's an entire show for you, not necessarily that show. Okay, fine. All right, so anyway, so the second Braita says that if he says, I'm a nafsha matonis shali, on condition that the matonis are mine, then ha matonis shaloi, then yes, the matonis have to be given to that coin. So you have a contradiction between the two Braita. The answer is, it's not a contradiction, in fact, it is actually a machlokes, but hopefully, this is the underlying argument between the two Braitas. Mar sover amanas shiurahu, one Braita holds that when you say amanas, it's the equivalent of saying chutz, it's the equivalent of leaving out the matonic, leaving them unsold. Therefore, it's like
an
a chutz.
Exclusion.
It's an exclusion. Therefore, it's like the chutz of our Mishnah, and therefore it's like the chutz of our Mishnah, and therefore you have to give them to him. Omar Sava, where's the first right to hold Amanas Lav Shiro? That Amanas does not constitute a shir, it constitutes a t'nai, and therefore it's not a t'nai that he has to keep. Either again because they didn't make it to begin with to be a binding t'nai, or because it's Masna Masha Kozumatara. Okay, fine. Then the halacha is that, yeah, the halacha is if he says, I'm a nasha, I'm a tonic shali, then the guy can give it to whatever kohen he wants, like the first guy. Okay. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Omer loy mecholi b'nei me'ah, we had two cases at the end of the Mishnah. One was where a person says to a butcher, sell me the internal organs of this animal, and it turns out that there are matonis among them, then he has to give them to the kohen, and he's not entitled to the taver, yes, and he's not entitled to a reduction in the price. As opposed to if he bought them by weight, then he's entitled to a rebate because the butcher had no business selling them because they don't belong to him. Okay.
So he sends the entire animal, then he's not entitled to a reduction.
Huh? No. Again, if he bought all of the internal organs, yeah, or the whole animal, yeah, then he's not entitled to a reduction. But if he bought it by weight, then he is. Okay. Omer Rav, so Rav says it's not so simple. Loishanu elosh shoka la'atmo. This only applies. This that we said that if he bought it by weight, that then we said he has to give it to the kohen, and then he has to go take the butcher to Beis Din to get his money back. That would only be if he weighed it out for himself. So the butcher didn't touch them before. Therefore, the kohen can't take the butcher to Beis Din and say, you took my matnas kohona. If the butcher had picked them up, then it would be that basically he was goizel them. So then the kohen would have the ability to take the butcher to Beis Din and say, you should give me my matnas kohona. But like this, if it's the buyer that picked it up and that picked it up and weighed it himself, then so the butcher didn't handle it before. So then the kohen only has a valid suit against the lekeach, and he took the keva, which he wasn't supposed to. Therefore, the kohen can make the lekeach give it to him, and then if the lekeach wants his money back, he has to go to the butcher. As opposed to if the butcher had weighed it out, avol shoka loy tabach hadinim atabach. But if the butcher weighed it out for him, so then the butcher himself handled it, and therefore he had kinyan gzela now. He had a kinyan that, in effect, he stole it from the kohen, and he picked it up, and that made it his for various purposes in halacha. Then hadinim atabach, then the kohen has a valid claim against the butcher himself, namely that he can tell the butcher himself, you yourself have to give me the matnas kohona. Rashi brings that this Gemara is in Bava Kamma, and Rashi mentions that the Gemara explains over there that what Rav actually means, he doesn't mean that the kohen can only go to the butcher. It means he can go to either the lekeach or the butcher. Either one of them is somebody that the kohen can go to and say, you're supposed to be giving me my matnas kohona, and you stole them from me, so now I want them back, or I want you to reimburse me for them. Because that's effectively what it is. It's the equivalent of one person stealing and then giving it to the other, where either one drops him, he's that goyver, drops him, he's that goyver. So he can collect from either one he wants. Okay, that's Rav. Rav Asi says no. Afilu shokol leitaba chadin imar. Even if the butcher weighed it out for the lekeach, the kohen can only go to the lekeach to demand it, because what he stole is still the aim. It still exists in its original form. So Rav is not taking that into consideration, the fact that the keva actually still exists. before, we learned the other day, we had Rav Chisda saying that if you ate or damaged the Matnas Kohana, then you don't have to repay the Kohen. But here we're talking about where they're be'ein. They still exist in their original form. So Rav is ignoring that point for reasons that we're going to see in a second. And therefore, he says the Kohen can go either to the Lekeach and say, give me the actual keva, or he can go to the butcher and say, you stole it from me and sold it to this other guy, so reimburse me for it. Whereas the Kohen to the Basi, he can only go to the Lekeach regardless of who weighed it out. So, the Gemara says, Lema b'dir Rav Chisda kamikavi, should we say that Rav and Rav Asi are arguing about the point that Rav Chisda said, the Amr Rav Chisda, Gozov lo nitziyashua b'ayilin, if a person stole something, and the owner did not yet have yush on the thing, and then somebody else comes and eats that stolen thing, or consumes it, or whatever, the din is, Rav Chisda says, rotem is egoiva, rotem is egoiva. Then the nigzol, the one from whom it was stolen, is allowed to collect it from either one that he wants. He can collect it from the original gazlan or from the one who ate it. So should we say then, in that case, should we say then that Rav holds the Rav Chisda's din, and that's why he says that the Kohen can go to either the butcher or the buyer, whereas Rav Asi doesn't hold of that, and therefore he says he can go only for the buyer? The answer is loy. No, that's not the correct explanation of the machlokes. Dekula alma islahu de Rav Chisda. Both Rav and Rav Asi will hold of Rav Chisda's din. That in a usual case of zela, you can go to either one. If Reuven stole it and then Shimon ate it, and then he stole it to Shimon or whatever, and Shimon ate it, which is like the case over here. So usually we would say he could go to either one. Here the underlying machlokes is, are the matnas kahuna subject to the din of gezel? Like this, we say normally a person steals something from somebody else. Once there's either yish or shinui reshus or some kind of shinui in it, as we learned in Bava Kama, then you have he now owns it. He now has kinyan gezel in it, which means that now he's responsible for anything that happens to it, and he has to reimburse the owner, etc. For anything that happens, even if it was an onus, etc., etc. The question is, does that kind of concept apply to the matnas kohona? Do we say that when the butcher picked up the matnas kohona and weighed them out for the other guy, or he didn't, as the case may be, these are two cases over here, in this case, actually, we're saying he didn't. The other guy picked it up and weighed it himself. So there wasn't even a sale. That's what we're saying. The case is that Reuven, the butcher, stole it, and then Shimon unilaterally took it and ate it. Because that's what we're talking about. The case is over here. That not Reuven put it on the scale for Shimon. Then the Mishnah had said that the Kohen is entitled to go to the butcher. We're talking about that Shimon, the buyer, picked it up himself and then weighed it out and for himself. And that's where Rav is saying that still he can go to the still the Kohen can go to him or to the butcher. And Rav Asi says only to the butcher. Rav Asi says I said that wrong. Rav is saying that in the Mishnah, if Shimon weighed it out for himself, then the Mishnah is saying that. So Rav was saying that Rav was saying that when we said in the Mishnah that the Lekeach has to give the keva to the Kohen and he's not entitled to a deduction from the price, that was talking about where he weighed it himself, where the butcher wasn't involved in picking it up at all. Therefore, effectively, Shimon is a gazlan over here. But if Reuven was the original Gazlan, right, he picked it up and weighed it and then gave it to Shimon, then we're saying that both of them are involved in the Gzela, one by doing the Gzela, the other one by eating it, and therefore the Kohen can go to either one.
One picks to take and the other one picks to eat.
Right. So whereas Rav Asi said that either way, that Rav Asi had said that no, even if the butcher weighed it out for him, then the Kohen, then we said the Kohen goes only to the Lekeach, because after all, the Gzela still exists in its original form. So we were saying, okay, so again, so we were saying are we saying that they're arguing on Rav Chisda's point? So the answer is no. They both agree with Rav Chisda. The matnas kohuna nigzolis kemistri. The machlokes is, does the concept of gezel apply to matnas kohuna? Do we say that matnas kohuna, or like any other object that's stolen, where the din is that if Reuven steals it and then Shimon eats it and sells it to Shimon and Shimon eats it, that the din is rotten izeg over, or are the matnas kohuna different because maybe since they still exist, the aim, since they still exist in their original form, maybe you're still obligated to give them to the kohen?
Means
you could collect them either one.
Either one.
Yeah. So therefore, some Gemara's Tov and Nigzolos, so namely, Rav will hold that the usual rules of Gezel apply to Matnas Kohuna. Therefore, the same way as with a regular thing, the same way as with any regular food, if Reuven steals it and then Shimon eats it, we're saying, the Chisda is saying you can go to either one. But in this case, also, the same thing would be true with the Matnas Kohuna. So the Kohen could go either to Reuven, the butcher, and demand repayment for it, or we could go to Shimon and take the actual payment.
So that's right.
Omar Sova in Nigzolos. Whereas Rav Asi would hold that the din of Gezel does not apply to Matnas Kohuna at all. So therefore, in other words, there's still the aim. So it's as if we ignore the fact that Reuven stole them. We just focus on the fact Shimon has them in his possession. Therefore, the Kohen can only go to Shimon and tell him, give me the Matnas Kohuna. Okay. So we learned the other day that if a person doesn't want to do a mitzvah, I say, Machi no iso. So basically, he's going to hit him. So, others learn this discussion of Rav and Rav Asi as a separate thing, not related to our Mishnah, that just Rav on the Matnas Kohuna and Exolus, Rav Asi on the Matnas Kohuna and Exolus. The halacha is like Rav, and actually the Rambam has a different understanding of this whole concept of Matnas Kohuna and Exolus. The Rambam says what it means is, aside from Rashi and Tosfos, again, are learning, like we just said, that it means that we know the Matana eventually has to be given to the Kohen. The only question is, does the din of Gezel apply to it? So does the Kohen have the ability to get the original kaver, or does he have the ability to go to the butcher and get repayment for it? The Rambam learned, and he passed in according to Rav, that Matnas Kohuna nigzolos, and therefore he could go to either one. But, it depends whether, according to Rav, whether the guy weighed it out himself or whether the butcher weighed it out for him. Therefore, whether the butcher participated in the gezel, basically. Well, if the butcher weighed it out, then either one, because both of them are involved in the gezel. Anyway, the Rambam has a different understanding of this Matnas Kohuna Nigzolos, which the Rambam learns that it means that once the Matnas Kohuna have been stolen, sold to somebody else, there is no chiyuv to give them to the Kohen anymore. So the Rambam wants to say that maybe there's a distinction within that, maybe there's a distinction whether he meant to sell them deliberately in order to deprive the Kohen of them, or whether he just needed to know or whatever, but the Rambam doesn't make any such distinction. According to the Rambam, once it's sold, the opportunity to do the mitzvah, it doesn't mean they have kedusha in the first place, yeah, but it means in other words the opportunity to do the mitzvah, no, not really, but it means that the opportunity to do the mitzvah is no more. Okay. Mishnah says, Gershinitz Geyer, if a Ger converts, and we know the famous thing why it's a Gershinitz Geyer, the Gaz says, because a Ger is somebody who's born already with a Jewish neshama, that's why eventually he's a
Ger.
That's what the Chidah says. The Chidah says, Vart, I mean, not totally, I mean, he's still a Ger, he has a Nefesh of Bahamas, but the point is he has some sort of connection with a neshama, and that's what eventually impels him to become a Ger. Yeah, completely, yeah, but we're talking about he has like some semblance of it. No, Gershon is Gaia, but hopefully like Korah, and he had a cow, so it depends. Nishchata Adshel and Nisgaia, if it was shechted before he converted, Potter, then it's Potter from Zoril Chayyim B'Tayyib, because he was a Goyer at the time he was shechted. Mishin is Gaia Chayyim, and if it was shechted after he's Nisgaia, then it's Chayyim. Because Chidrash is Sophic Potter, if there's a Sophic, whether it was shechted before or after he's Nisgaia, then he's Potter, Shamroit and Chabel, over Raya, because the Koyan would have to bring a proof that the shechita happened after he was converted. That part is a Chidrash. Okay, so the Gemara says, he offered a Dimi Amar. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, Rami le Rav Shimon ben Lachish le Rav Yechanan. Rav Shimon ben Lachish pointed out the following contradiction to Rav Yechanan. Shnan Sofik Potter, we say in our Mishnah that if there's a Sofik on Zerul Chayayim the Teva, then you're Potter from giving it. alma sefer lekula, which shows that when there's a suffix, we go lekula. Uriminu, the Shlokish says, I have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Peah on this specific point about suffix potter. A Mishnah in Masechta Peah says, talking about the dinim of leket. So we know that leket, we learned a couple of days ago, that you have one or two sheaves of grain, one or two stalks of grain falls, you have to leave it for the poor people. That's leket. So Chorei Hanamalim B'Shipasel HaKoma, ant holes that are among the standing grain. So in other words, you have the harvesters haven't yet gotten to that part of the field, and you have ant holes over there where the ants take individual kernels of grain and take them to those holes.
Yeah.
So the question is, did those grains come from so in this case they came from among the standing grain, Harei Elisha Balabais. So they belong to the Balabais because they're obviously not from Leket because nobody came and harvested there yet, and therefore we assume that they came from the actual standing stalks that are still in that area. What about what you find in ant holes behind where the harvesters have been? So in other words, there's a part of the field where the harvesters have harvested the grain, and now you find ant holes over there, and in those ant holes you find grain. Well, some of it is lucket and some of it is not. I mean, obviously not all of it is lucket. So therefore, the ones on top of the pile belong to the aniyim because they may well be leket that fell off while they were harvesting. The ones further on down belong to the balabais because the ants probably took them before the harvest. That's the chachamim. The mayor says all of it belongs to the poor people. Just suffix leket, because when you have a suffix of whether something is leket, then it's considered leket. So the question is, Rashi says, sam mishner a mayor, but our mishner is saying suffix kosher by matnas kohona. So why over there is the mayor saying suffix is chayim? Suffix leket. Tosfos says the question is not only from the mayor, the question is from the chachamim as well. Because even the chachamim are disagreeing on the detail of whether the ones higher up versus the ones lower down. So the ones lower down are more likely to be from earlier in the season, and therefore they more likely are from before the harvest. But they agree with the basic principle that suffix leket. They're just not applying it as widely as your mayor does. So the question is, then who would our mission be going on? So that was the question. On the way, so Reb Yechanan answers, Al taknikeni, don't bother me, don't hack me a chinek. Shabaloshin yachid ani shayna oisa. I learn on Mishnah as being a daf yachid. But the Mishnah in Peah. I learn it not as the opinion only of Reb Meir. I learn it as the opinion of a particular Talmud in the name of Reb Meir. We had this before. We had this in the previous parak, where Rosh Lakish also pointed out to Rabbi Yochanan a theater with a Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan said, my version of that Mishnah says that it's only Divrei Reb Shimon. So it's similarly over here. So yeah, D'tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, it's not Reb Meir alone who says this. Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, or Mishum Reb Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra says in the name of Reb Meir, that suffix leket, suffix shikha, suffix peya. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra holds that that's what Reb Meir held. So there's two versions of what
Reb Meir
held. Well, it means, in other words, so there's not a contradiction with our Mishnah. We have two different versions of what Reb Meir held. One version that he held suffix leket, and the same by the other one, by peya and by shikha. And the other one was our Mishnah that says suffix is possible. And by the way, Rashi and Tosfos point out in various places in Shas that in general, when it says so-and-so says mishum so-and-so, means he didn't hear it from him directly. That's like several generations later. But here it could be the same kind of thing. If you heard of an Agra, may not have even been a direct Talmud of a mayor and heard it from him. It may have been. So in that case, the point is, okay, that's what you heard of an Agra's Masoda of what Reb Meir said, but other people have a different Masoda. Omaloi, so the Shlokish says to Rabbi Yechanan, I can't accept that as a valid answer. Al Pishna Oisa Ela Boloshin Ben Tadal. So even if you only learn that Mishnah in the name of Ben Tadal, that's not a valid explanation. Who is Ben Tadal? Rashi says there was a known Shota in those days named Ben Tadal. So like even if you just say it in the name of some shoita in the world, nevertheless we still can't say that we can just dismiss it as a daft yachid, because after all, v'ha taima karma, because after all it gives a logical reason for his shita why we should say stop it like it like it. So who cares if it's only Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra's version of what Rameya says? There's a logical reason behind it. You still have to deal with the logical reason. But on the side of it, he would bring a couple of other girsahs from the Aruch. Another girsah is, and another girsah instead of Kadol is Oro, or somebody who's Aral Sfasayim, somebody who doesn't speak clearly, Ben Ado, somebody who was careless in recording things. Anyway, whatever, the point is, Vav Taima Kama, after all, he's giving a reason, the Amar of Shimon Lakish, because the Shlakish also says, Mai Dechtiv Oni Vorosh HaTzdiku. What does it mean when the Pasuk says in Tehillim, justify the poor and the needy? So what do you mean, Hamai HaTzdiku? In what sense should you justify him? HaTzdiku implies, in other words, that you should be trying to judge him favorably. So what does that mean? Elam b'dinim doesn't mean in a din Torah that you should try to favor the poor guy. You're not allowed to. Vox de v'dol like tedah b'riba. The pasuk says you're not allowed to favor the poor person in judgment, as Rashi says on the pasuk. Tedah means to let him go first, to honor him, or like to show him partiality. And Rashi explains, the point is, you shouldn't think, Rashi explains on the pasuk over there, you shouldn't think, let's say, okay, look, you know, I mean, the rich person who's a litigant over there has a mitzvah to give tzedakah to this poor guy, so let me judge the case in favor of the poor guy, even if that's not the proper halacha, and that way, instead of having to take tzedakah, which is embarrassing, this way he'll get it, so the Torah is warning you not to do that. So oni varosh ha-tzdiku can't mean to do that. Ella, it means tzadik meshochta v'tenlo, it means justify, means give tzedakah from your own and give him. Meaning, in other words, that be partial to him when it comes to your own, when it comes to a suffix of your own, and give it to him, of your own money and give it to him. As in this, well, in this case over here, that's what we're talking about. So therefore, suffix leket and suffix shikha, etc. So the question is, in that case, like it goes to the poor people. That's the point. The Torah tells you. That's the point. The Torah is telling you. So you have suffix leket. You have this grain over there in the ant hole. You don't know whether it should belong to you. You don't know whether it should belong to the Adim. So therefore, so fine. It's only Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. He's still giving a logical reason. Tzadik meshocha b'tenloi. So why? So the point is, even if you're going to say that Mishnah in the name of some ben tadol or whatever, you still have to explain the reason behind it. The answer is so. And again, how would that? So why is it different in our Mishnah? Amar Rava. So Rava says the difference is like this. Hocha parah b'cheskas tura kaima. Because the difference is in our Mishnah. Remember, the owner of the parah was a guy originally. So the parah had a chazaka of being potter. Because so what is it? Originally it was potter. Now you have a suffix whether it became chayef or not because he became a ger. But you don't know whether it was before or after. So you want to go back to the original chazaka. Okay, you go back to the original chazaka. You're going back to it being potter. So the original chazaka was that it belonged to the guy, and therefore it's potter. Koma b'cheskas chiyuva kaima, as opposed to when it comes to the grain, when you have a suffix in leket, it always belonged to a Yisrael. Yeah, there's no issue of goy and Yisrael and Jews. So therefore, the original chazaka of it was that it was going to be chayim. So therefore, it remains in the chazaka of being chayev. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says that still doesn't work. Bahare Isa. Consider the case of a doe. Again, you have a similar concept where Gershon is Geyer, and there was doe made, and there's a topic whether it was needed before or after the deer, right? And Rashi explains, when does doe become chayev and chala? When you need it. And on the other hand, if it's needed while it belongs to a goy, it's possible. So we say if the dough was made before the goy became a ger, potumanachala, mission is gaya chayev, and sopik chayev, and if it's a sopik, it's chayev. So how are you going to explain that? If you go according to chazaka kama, the chazaka kama is that it was potter. Amalei, so Robert says, the difference is sopik is surah lachumra, because when it comes to chala, it's a sopik iser, because you're not allowed to eat the dough before you take chala from it. The person is chayev nisa for doing that. So therefore, you have to be machmir. So the topic of Isis. No, because you're allowed to eat from the grain before leket is given. Sophic mamoina lakula, as opposed to when it comes to our Mishnah, it's only a sophic of mamoin because you will. Now we learned the other day we had Rabbi Yochanan saying you're not allowed to eat from an animal that loy humu matnesel. But the halacha, we said the halacha is not like that. You are allowed to eat from an animal before the matonis were designated. So therefore, it's only a sophic mamoin, and a sophic mamoin you can go lakula.
Midaraisa
in general, you go with a suffix lakula. We say suffix daraisa lakumra, but there are quite a number of rishonim and achronim who say that concept itself is only the rabban.
Okay, let's say
suffix
mamon is
a daraisa
level.
Suffix mamona, though, the point is you always have more flexibility because hefker based in hefker. So therefore, so therefore you can be makel and therefore you can pass it. And we know this because Rav Chista says, V'chein toni Rav Chiya, and Rav Chiya also taught likewise in a brisa, Shmoina Tzveikus Nemru Beger, there are 8 Tzveikus that can happen with a Ger, which the Chachamim talk about, where, again, where you have something that took place maybe before he became a Ger, maybe after, and what the dinim are. Arba L'chiyu V'arba L'ktur. 4 of them, the result is that he's Chayav because of the Tzveik, in other words, L'machner, and 4 of them, the result is that he's Potter. Namely, Korban Ishtoi, number one, a korban for his wife. So let's say he and his wife were mitzvayer together. So now let's say she gave birth, and it's a suffix whether the baby was born before or after she dipped in the mitzvah. If she was a Jewish woman when she gave birth, she would have to bring a korban yeledes, like any other Jewish woman. There you have to be machmir because there you have a possible issur koreh. Because Mechusa supported, somebody who does not bring their korban that they're supposed to, a Yeledes, a Zav, etc., in various cases, the Mechusa supported, are not allowed to eat Kodshim if they do their Chayav Kodesh. So to avoid that, she's going to have to bring the korban herself.
What? How do we apply the Alacha today?
Well, nowadays we don't have a korban, but okay. Well, nowadays you don't bring a korban to file. I mean, you give tzedakah, yeah, that's fine. Tzedakah you can give regardless. But, yeah. Okay. So his wife's korban is one case of suffix where there's one case of suffix where the korban has to be brought. Number two, chala, because we said there's a suffix of mitzvah b'dei shemayim if you don't take it. Number three, a b'chor behemah tmeya. Number three, the b'chor of a behemah tmeya. Specifically, behemah tmeya in this connection means a donkey. We say in Rabbeinu Tam Tzvilin, the petach hamor tifteva sev, the most tifteva adaso. That the Petra Chamor, the firstborn donkey, we'll learn about this in Bechor, says to Shem, is you're not allowed to use it. It's also Bahana until you redeem it from the Kohen, until you give the sheep to the Kohen. So therefore, again, you have to be Machmer, because in order to take away the Isser, then he has to designate that sheep.
Here we said the dairy would be higher than Chala.
That's the point. Here we're also saying Chala. These four are Lachiyu. These four that were listed. These four are Lachiyu. His wife has to bring the korban. He has to take the challah.
Right.
He has to designate a sheep for his petach chamor. However, Rashi mentions, which the Gemara itself is going to mention on Amud Beis, that he doesn't actually have to give it to the kohen, because again, I'm moitzi mechaver l'varaya, to take away the issur on the junkie. All he has to do is designate the sheep. But then he's allowed to keep it for himself. So that's one of the four things of tur. That's one of the four things of tur that we'll say. But he has to designate a sheep to redeem it. That's the chor behemoth mare. Then he can keep the sheep, right? And number four, the chor behemoth. Then the animals. Then the donkey is also bound up. It's also going to have to be captivated. Yeah. And the fourth one is b'chor of a behemoth tahora, where again it has to be brought to the korban, or nowadays there's no korbanus, so therefore you have to wait till it develops a mum. And if you don't, if he shechts it and eats it before it develops a mum, then he's chayav korban, he's eating kodshim achot. So those four, l'chiyuv, so those four. No, everybody is. What do you mean? No. Any person who has a b'chor behemoth tahora nowadays,
right,
you have to wait till it develops a mum, and then it can be shechted and then it can be eaten. If a person were to designate an animal for a korban nowadays and then shecht it outside the Beis Mikdash, yes, it would be chayav karis. So therefore, this animal is already pre-designated. So therefore, yes, if you were to shecht it and eat it outside the Beis Mikdash, yes, it would be chayav karis. Doesn't matter. It's still a korban. It's still a potential. Yeah. That's what we're going to learn about this in the korban. Okay. So those four, the geir would have to be machmir because of the suffix. On the other hand, reishis hageiz, the first shearing of the next parak, which we're going to learn about in the next parak, mahmatonis, the zroel chayayim akeva, opinion aben, opinion petachamur, and the actual sheep with which the petachamur is redeemed, luptur, all of those, he's potter because all of those, it's only a suffix of mammon. There's no issur involved. So we see from that, therefore, by chala, you have to be machmir because of chiyuv, because of iser, because of potential mitzvah b'deshmaim, and therefore, so we see that there's a difference between things of mammon versus things of iser. So by the same logic, we can say, therefore, that in our Mishnah we're mekel, because it's only mammon, whereas by chala, we're machmir, and by the aniyim, by sotik leket, we're also machmir on the grounds of tzadik mishachav etenlo.
Yeah,
but that's the point. Because the pasuk says tzadik mishachav etenlo, therefore you have to go the extra mile and give it to him.
We said
only varash tzadiku, you justify that as a poor person. Okay. Fine. He also Rabin Amar, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained differently. He said, "Koma akoma Ramle." He says that actually the original the original contradiction that that Rish Lakish pointed out to Rabbi Yochanan was not. So the first version that we had that Rabbi Dimi said was that Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, you have our Mishnah versus you have the Mishnah about Sopik Leke.
Right.
Robin's version is that Rish Lakish had actually asked from two Braisa, from a different Braisa, where you have a Braisa that says that if you have a Ger who's harvested to Sopik, whether it was harvested before or after he was Nisgayer, then that so then he's Kotzer. And on the other hand, you have Sopik Leket Leket. And then he answered him with the same answer that I say that Sopik Leket Leket is only according to Ben Agra, and therefore no contradiction.
But he had a different Braisa?
Robin is saying that Rish Lakish had a different Braisa that said similarly, if a Ger has a field that was being harvested and it's not sure whether it was before or after it was in the Skyer, then he's Kotzer from Leket. On the other hand, we're saying Sopik Leket Leket in the case of the grain and the anthills. And the answer was that Rabbi Yochanan says the Mishnah of Sopik Leket Leket I hold is only according to Ben Agra. Okay, fine. The Gemara mentions a case. Levi Zorah B'Kishir. Levi planted in Kishir, which is the name of a place. V'loy have one name on the Shalaket. It happened there were no poor people over there to take the Leket. Also the Kamei did Rav Sheshet. So he came to Rav Sheshet to ask what to do. Should I just leave it in the field? Amalei, so Rav Sheshet answered him, no, you don't leave it in the field. The Pasuk says, well, only for like Ger Tazavai. So the Pasuk says you should leave them for the poor person and for the Ger, meaning a Ger Tzedek, who doesn't have a Ger Tzedek, who doesn't have ancestral land in Eretz Yisrael.
But that's the question.
No, the meaning, in other words, it's only for like Ger Tazavai. V'loy la'ovim, v'loy la'atalechim. The implication is, the Pasuk is saying, you don't leave it for the crows, you don't leave it for the bat. So therefore, if there's no aneim, then yes, gather it up and bring it to your house.
Atalechim
my bat. So what this makes you, I have a contradiction. A braisa says, you do not have to bring truma, that is, the Yisrael does not have to bother bringing the truma from the granary to the city, or from the desert, or the uncultivated areas, or whatever, to the settled areas. But the in ein sham koyin, if there's no koyin locally over there, socher paro umaviyah, he has to rent a cow to carry it, and bring it into the city, nipne hefsed truma, because otherwise the truma is going to get lost. Otherwise it's going to end up being eaten by wild animals. So by the same logic, why is Rav Sheshet telling Levi that you're allowed to keep the leket in that case? He should have to hold on to it until Aniyim show up. That's the answer. It's Shiny truma, the tavla. The answer is because without truma, you have tevel. The whole thing is also. So therefore, you have to designate it. And once you designate it, then yeah, you can't leave it over there. Therefore, you can't leave it over there, and therefore you have to bring it in. It's just a standard way of mentioning. I mean, obviously you could use some other animal, obviously you could carry it himself, depends on the amount of it. But typically it would involve renting an animal. So the question, so therefore, so it's impossible not to be makrish, as opposed to leket, the grain. It's not also if you didn't give leket. Okay, what about that in matonis for the tabli? Okay, but again, the matonis also don't make the animal tevel, because again, we said the halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan, that you're not allowed to eat from an animal shalehum umanetzeha. V'tanya, and Luna Nebraisa, mokum shenagu limloy ba'agolim, in a place where the minhag is to take calves and put them in boiling hot water with the skin still on, and then Rashi describes they eat them with the skin. Because we learned in the previous perek that in particular the skin of the head of a young calf is edible as it is, and the skin of the rest of the animal is also fairly soft. So if you put it in boiling water, then it softens it to the point that you can eat it. So in a place where the minhag is to do that, lo yapshit as a zroya, you should not strip off the skin from the zroya before you give it to the kohen. Give it to the kohen with the skin still on, so that way he can, if he wants to, he could do that. He could put it in boiling water and be able to eat the skin as well. Yeah. Similarly, lahapshit as a roish, in a place where lahapshit as a roish, in a place where the minhag is to strip off the skin from the head, lo yapshit as a lechi, he should not strip the skin off of the lechi. He should give it to the kohen with the skin. And the Braisa says, "Be an ancham koyin. If there's no koyin in the area, malin oisin bedamim. Then you evaluate how much the matonis are worth in money. V'oichlan, and then you yourself can eat them. Mipnei hefsed koyin. And the reason you have to do that is in order that the koyin doesn't lose out. So in that case, we're saying you actually have to set aside an equivalent amount of money to give to the koyin. So why doesn't Rav Sheshes tell Levi that by the same logic, you have to figure out the amount of leket that you would have left is worth X amount. Therefore, you have to set amount aside that X amount for the onion. The answer is shiny matnas kohona. It's different in the case of matnas kohona than nesina ksivve. Because by matnas kohona, it says the expression nesina. It says titen lo. V'nosan makoyin azroi val chayim bakeva. As opposed to, it doesn't say v'nosan by the matnas anim. It just says, well, only like it's tazei voisam. You should leave them for the poor person in the gift. So therefore, your obligation is to leave them. If there's no anim, and you're not supposed to be leaving them for the birds and the bats and whatever to eat, then you're allowed to just keep it, and you don't have to reimburse the anim. Because there's no mitzvah, there's no nothing that says chiten loy, or as opposed to over here, it says that you actually have to give it.
So you have to collect it.
Yeah. So if you can't give them the actual zoy l'chayayim b'keva, then you have to give them the money. Okay, the Gemara says, now that you mention that point, that's a matter of whether the Pasuk mentions that you have to give it, Turumanami, the cynics, isn't it? Okay, so you can say, you don't have to say, like you said before, that there's no choice but to separate out Turuma, because otherwise the produce is settled, and that's why you had to separate it. By Turuma, it says, Vereshis gone for Tereshim Tarecha, Vereshis gave Tereshim for Titen Lod. Yeah, Titen Lod. So yeah, it also uses the word Nafina. So now we don't need the answer before that Turuma, that without Turuma it's Tevel, whereas without Leket it's not Tevel. We can say a different answer. Leket doesn't say Nafina. Truma and Zroil, Truma and Zroil Chayayim Bekeva, it says to give, yeah. Okay, so the question is, Ve'ela Tazav Yisera Lomali. By the way, as far as an interesting point, as far as this that we're saying that you don't leave it for the birds and the bats and whatever, the Chazon Ish was asked nowadays. You have Jewish farmers in Eretz Yisrael, so they have a mitzvah of Leket Shikcha and Peah. So you would think. I mean, that I'm all right, for example, that nowadays, I think that I'm all right, so says one of the earlier posts right, that nowadays there were very few Jews in their time, Eretz Yisrael. So a Jewish farmer there is not obligated to Leket Shikcha and Peah, because there really aren't any Jewish poor. So the question is, what about now? So the Chazon Ish was asked about that. And 40s, 50s, I don't know. Anyway, he answered. He was maybe Nifter in 1954. Anyway, so he answered no, because even the poor people nowadays, they're not prone to actually go and collect and then collect grain and then pick grain from fields and whatever. I mean, even he says, like, even your average poor person nowadays, if they come to the door and you give them bread, they're not really going to be satisfied with it. You know, your average poor person nowadays has a bit of a higher standard of living than that. So therefore, it would amount to the same thing. It would be left for the animals, it would be left for the Arabs, or whatever, and therefore, there's no obligation of anything.
The Torah says
Tazav, but in this case, same as we're saying over here. In Levi's situation, there were no poor people, so therefore, Rav Sheshes tells him to take it home. So the Chazon Ish is saying the same thing over here, a Jewish farmer. Nowadays, there's not going to be any Jewish poor person who's going to bother coming and collecting it, and therefore you can keep it for yourself. Okay. Okay, so the question is, Ve'ela Tazav Yisera Lomali. Okay, so the question is, you have an extra word, Tazav. You have one, it says twice, once in Parshas Kedoshim, it mentions that you have to leave the leket for the poor people. And again, it says in Parshas Emor. So L'chorah, that means, so on the face of it, that should mean that the one Tazav means the basic fact, you don't have to give it to the Anim, just leave it for them to collect. And the other one would mean that you have to leave it for them no matter, that even if there's no poor people, you have to store it away until Anim show up. Maybe that's what we're learning for the extra Tazav. No. The answer is L'chadetanya. No, we're learning a different thing from that extra Tazav. L'chadetanya, as it says in a Brisa, Hamaskiris Karma, if a person declares his vineyard Hechter, Ulamachar Hishkum Abotzer, and the next morning he wakes up early and retakes the ownership of it and harvests it. Midaraisi, you're allowed to do that, by the way. Midrabanan, we learned in Nidarim that there actually has to be a couple of days waiting period not a couple of days waiting period. Sorry, I got that wrong. No, Midaraisi, you can declare it a Hechter even privately, even if nobody knows about it. Midrabanan, you have to do it in front of three people.
Right,
Okay, anyway. So he declares his vineyard Hechter. The next morning he wakes up early and retakes ownership of it and harvests it. Chayev repairs of oilus of a shitchol payer. He will be chayev in all the matnas anim, even though Hechter is potter, the extra tazav teaches us that in this kind of case he's chayev. Or potter, and a meiser is, however, he will be potter from meiser because meiser is only chayev in if it wasn't hefker at any point, and there's no tazav that's said by meiser, so therefore he's potter. So therefore he's potter from meiser as a result of having declared it hefker.
All
meiser, all the meiser. Okay, so So that's what we're learning from the extra chazed, but not as we might have thought that it teaches us that if there's no anim, you have to take the lechet and hold on to it for them. Nope. One chazed teaches us you leave it for them. On the other hand, you don't leave it for the birds and bats and whatever, and therefore if there's no anim, then you can keep it for yourself. The other chazed teaches us a whole different din involving if you declare it hefker and then regained ownership.
And if you declare it hefker, then if you come back.
If you come back and take it, so we're saying you're still chayev in all the matnas anim from that vineyard, all four of them, Peret and Olus and Shikhan Peah, you're just potter from Meisel. You gain by making it hefker and then regaining it that you're potter from Meisel.
That's the second chazed.
Right. So the second chazed teaches us that concept that you're chayev in the matnas and in the matnas anim. In this connection, the Gemara mentions how who sacked the dinri. One time there was a sack of gold coins, the osel of Ben Medrasha, which came to the Beis Medrash. Somebody had sent it from someplace else to the Bnei HaYeshiva. Kodim Rav Ami v'zocha behem. So Rav Ami,
golden dinner.
Golden dinner, Rashi says. Yeah, usually when the Gemara says dinner, it's usually unspecified. Usually the golden one. Yeah. So kodim Rav Ami v'zocha behem. Rav Ami went ahead and was zocher in them for himself. He took ownership of that. So the question is, how could he do that? Didn't we learn the other day, as far as the matnas kohuna and matnas levia, that it's supposed to be the Yisrael gives it to you, not that you take it yourself? So over here, if it's sitting in the mismedrash, why is Rav Ami taking it himself? The answer is, Rav Ami didn't take it for himself. He took it in order to be zeicha for it, in it on behalf of the aniyim. So either it means the aniyim in the Beis Medrash, so like this, he'll be the one to decide how it should be distributed among the Talmidei HaYeshiva, or another possibility is it may even mean the aniyim locally, not even necessarily the Bnei HaYeshiva.
Yeah, why are we counting the...
We're mentioning this because it's a similar kind of thing where you have that there's a similar thing where somebody is taking something that on the face of it should belong to the aniyim for himself. So we're saying one answer is he's not taking it for himself. He's taking it on behalf of the aniyim to distribute to them. The boyseima odim choshev shiny. The other answer is it's different when he's an important person. For example, he being the Rosh Hashiva, he can go ahead and take it for himself. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, V'hakoyen agodol me'achav, the Pasuk says that the Kohen who is greater than his brothers, meaning, it doesn't just mean he's the Kohen brother, she hey godol me'achav, meaning he has to be greater than his brothers, benoi, in physical beauty, v'chochma, in wisdom, uva oisher, and in riches, acherim, and acherim, which usually means mayor, says, minayin shein ein loy, how do we know also that if the Kohen godol does not have money, so that his fellow Kohenim have to make him greater by giving him money. Make him greater from among his brothers. So therefore, so by the same token over here, when there's this money over here, Rav Ami is entitled to say that on the basis of Gadleihu Mishalachav, he is entitled to keep it for himself. And obviously, he's going to be giving tzedakah from it, and obviously, yeah, but the point
why
is...
Because
first of all, Rav Ami himself was a Kohen, actually. He was a Kohen, but besides that, we're saying that a similar concept that applies to the Kohen level, a similar concept applies to a Rosh Hashiva or other such people who are in positions of importance.
You would say also in the government or institutions?
No, the pashas, I mean somebody who has a higher position on a Torah, from a Torah point of view. Well, in other words, in this case, Torah level, or the Kohen Gadol, which is a ruchniistic thing or whatever, I don't know. Okay. So Rashi says, so they even would be obligated to give him of their own, how much more so when this is money that came in from the outside that he's entitled to keep it for himself. By the way, this that we're saying that you have to enrich the Kohen Gadol. We've mentioned before that there's a Tosefta someplace that mentions that one of the last Kohen Gadol, maybe even the last Kohen Gadol, the second Beis Mikdash, was in that situation. He was a stone cutter when they appointed him Kohen Gadol. It was poor. His name was Pinchas Ishchavta.
Yeah.
So when they appointed him Kohen Gadol, they came and they found he's working in the quarry over there. So they went and started filling up the quarry with gold coins in order to be Mekayim this thing, Gadleihu Mishalachav.
How can you nominate a Kohen who's Namar?
He wasn't an Amar. Who says he's an Amar? I think in fact in that Tosefta, I think one of the Tanoim over there, maybe Shimon Amiel, I don't remember, says that he was a son in law. So Rav Hashas, he was a Talmud Chacham. Yeah. Fine. Mishnah says.
Pinchas
Ishchavta. I mean, he's not mentioned anywhere. He's not mentioned anywhere else in Shas, so he must have at least been. Yeah. Okay.
Where's
Chavta? I don't know. No idea. Okay. Mishnah says, Ezehu Hazroya. What is the definition of Zroya for the purpose of this din of Zroya L'chayayim B'keva? Mina perek shal arkuba ad kaf shal yad. From the joint of the arkuba until the shoulder blade. Which means we've learned many times before that the leg of an animal has three segments, You have the upper, the middle, and the lower, and then you have the hooves below that. So we're saying it goes from the ankle, from what's the equivalent of the ankle joint in a human being, above the first joint. So that, and the next two parts above that, the next two segments above that, up to the shoulder blade. The Rambam has in the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos has a different explanation. It may mean include the lower, it includes the lower part of the lower part of the foreleg. Anyway, the Hushal Nazir, that's the same part when the Pasuk says that the Nazir takes the front leg, the Zroya, and cooks from his ram of his shlomim, and cooks it and gives it to the Kohen. That's the same part, the same because the Torah uses the word Zroya for both of them. The corresponding part of the leg is what's called shoik. So when we say that you have to take the shoik of the shlomim and wave it together with the chest, that's what it means. The shoik would mean the same two segments of the right back leg.
So the low segment
to
the right.
So
back.
According to Rashi, it means the middle and upper segment,
the middle
and the upper segment, and according to the Rambam, it may mean the lower and the middle one.
The middle and the lower.
Yeah. This is, by the way, relevant as far as the question. This is that the Gemara is saying that part is shoik. That's relevant to the question of the halachas of tznius, because the Gemara tells us in Brachas shoik beisha erva that a woman's shoik is considered erva and therefore it has to be covered. So the question is, what is shoik? So that's why you have different opinions among the poskim. What shoik is? Does it mean down to the knee or does it mean down to the ankle? Which is why you have communities where they wear skirts all the way down to the ankle to be machmir. The accepted opinion by most poskim is that you kind of compromise. That's why they wear skirts down below the knee, but then they wear skirts down below the knee to cover the knee, and then they wear tights or pantyhose or whatever below that. And they don't just leave the legs bare.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing, because you have two different opinions, what shoik is.
So
that's the thing. So that's the compromise. The accepted compromise by most poskim is that the upper leg has to be covered with something non-form fitting, such as a skirt.
So a skirt
and the lower
below
the knee in order that even when she's sitting the knee is covered. Okay. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda says a different definition. Shoik min aperek shel arkuba ad soivach shel regel. Rabbi Yehuda says the shoik only goes from the joint of the arkuba, the joint of the lower joint, until the thick part of the leg. In other words, he says it's only the middle joint. Not like the Tanakhama who's saying that's the middle and upper joint, that's the middle and upper segment. Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's only the middle segment is the shoik. Okay. Ezehu lechi, what is the definition of lechi for Zorah Lechayayim Vateva? Min aperek shel lechi ad pika shel galgeva, from the joint of the jaw, until pika shel galgeva, until the round part of the windpipe, which is the thyroid cartilage, shikri kova, that we learned about earlier in the Masechta. Yeah.
So it includes
from here to here, basically. So it includes the cheeks and the tongue and. Just the very upper part of the neck. Okay. Fine. The Gemara says, "Tana Rabban, Hazroya, Zezroya Yamin." When the pasuk says that you have to give Hazroya, that means the right foreleg. After Omer Zezroya Yamin, so you're telling me it means the right foreleg. Oyein El Zroya Smol, how do you know? Maybe it means the left leg. Tana Rabban Hazroya. Therefore, the pasuk says Hazroya. My Talmud. My Talmud. Where are we getting from the word Hazroya? That means after the right one. The answer is Kida Omer Rava. Right, like Rava said in Perek Gidan Nosha, Ha Yerach means Ham Yomenes Shri Yerach. That we said that Rabbi Yehuda held that Gidan Nosha only applies to the right leg because Ha Yerach means the strongest. The most important. It means the right one. Hachanami Hazroya means Ham Yomen Shri Yerach. The same way over here, Hazroya means the most important among the four legs. Okay. Then okay, what's the hay and halachayim coming to include then? There's only one set of jaws and cheeks on the animal. The answer is no, it can't mean the right or the left, because you're giving the whole thing. The answer is Lahavi Semer Shabarosh Kvasim, the Sayer Shabazkan Tioshim. It comes to include also the wool on the head of sheep and the hair on the beard of a goat, that those also, when you're giving the lachayim to the Kohen, as we said before, you don't take off the skin, you give him not only the skin, you give him also the wool of the hair that's attached to it.
So if you show the goat's beard.
For the sheep, it would just be whatever wool you have around the cheeks, right. And cheeks and jaw, and everything. Okay. The hakeva lamayo. So what about in the word hakeva, what is the hay adding? The answer is lohabi chaylev shal gabi akeva v'chaylev shal b'seich akeva. It comes to include the chaylev, the fat that's over, that surrounds the keva, as we had diagrams of it before, and the chaylev that's within the keva.
Applies to sheep and goats.
Yeah, well, it applies to cattle also. So fine, the cattle, okay, you have to give also with the hair and whatever. Yeah. So lohabi chaylev shal gabi akeva. Sorry, not the chaylev. It comes to include the chelev, the fat which is outside the keva, and the cholov, the milk which is inside the keva. If it's a baby animal and it has milk in its stomach, then you also have to give that milk to the kohen, as we learned before.
The
chelev which is above, around the keva, and the cholov, the milk which is in the keva, if it's a nursing animal, as we learned earlier in Perek Kol Abosu, you can use that as starter for cheese. So you give that to the kohen also. The Amr of Yeshua. Now, in fact, Rabbi Yeshua says, "Koyanim nagu ba'ayin yofa." The Koyanim are generous with it. V'nasnu l'baylim, they give it to the owners, implying time of the nagu only because they have the minhag to have this ayin yofa. Do the owners not have to give it? Holoi nagu, but if they didn't have that minhag, didehu, then it would actually belong to the Koyanim. So that's what we learned from the word hakeva. Okay.
That's halacha.
Yeah. Darshe chamurois hoyoimim. The people who darshin chamurois used to say, Rashi explains chamurois is the lashon chomer, meaning psukim that are obscure, that we wouldn't understand the reason for them without the drasha. Tosfos brings from the Aruch from Rav Tzadia Gaon that darshe chamurois means people who darshin that the reward is appropriate to what was done. So they would explain hoyoimim. Why dafka did the Torah say azroyel v'chayim arkeva? Why dafka are those three parts given to the kohen? So it has zroya keneged ayad. The zroya corresponds to the hand. They all correspond to what Pinchas accomplished when he killed Zimri, when he went on the Siris Nefesh to kill Zimri and Kozbi. Yeah. So the hazroya keneged ayad. So the zroya corresponds to the hand with which he picked up the spear. V'cheinu emor v'yikach roi machbiyode. He picked up the spear in his hand. L'chayayim keneged tefila. The l'chayayim, the cheeks, represent the tefila that he said. V'cheinu emor v'yamed Pinchas v'yifalel. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, that Pinchas stood up and he davened. V'yifalel moshen tefila, they davened. Keva k'mashma, and the word keva is exactly what it sounds like. It means the stomach, it means the internal organs. V'cheinu emor v'yamed Ishael kavosa. As it says over there, that he pierced through Zimri, and he pierced into Kozbi, into kavosa, into her stomach, into her womb, whatever. So we see that keva, it means exactly what it sounds like, the internal organs. So therefore, the zroya l'chayayim, the keva, represent what Pinchas accomplished over there.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, there's a verse I saw, I don't remember from who now, who says that that's why the pasuk introduces this mitzvah, the zeyim mishpat ha-kohen. And mishpat literally means like law, like something that they deserve. They deserve it as a reward for what Pinchas accomplished over there. Okay. So all of that, so what's the connection of this with the previous thing? Rashi explains that's another way that we know that the Zroya must be the right foreleg. The same way as Pinchas picked up the spear with his right hand, because most people are right-handed.
Yep.
The same way, yeah. According to Tosfos, that it just,
we know it picked up
his right hand. Usually people are right-handed, and besides which a left-hander is possible as a Korean anyway. So therefore, he must have been right-handed. According to Tosfos, that it just means that they daushin, according to the daushin, that the reward is appropriate to the maaser, then it's not a continuation. It's just a new statement explaining why that is. Okay. The Tana maaser lo mahocha, then a Tana of a b'raisa learns a different way how we know that the zroya means dafka the right leg, the right foreleg, because when the pasuk says about the shlomin, shoik hayomin, the pasuk says that you take the right shoik, the right rear leg, and give and you wave it together with the chaza and give it to the kohen. Ein the ela shoik hayomin, so you would only know that the shoik has to dafka be the right one. Zroya mukdoshin minola, and how do we know also when it comes to the zroya of the ram of the nazir? The pasuk says you just take the zroya. How do we know dafka is the right one? That's the right side. Tamad lema truma, therefore the pasuk uses the word truma, and therefore so that comes to include the case of the el nazir. Zroya cholin minayin, how do we know the same rule applies to the zroya that you're giving from cholin as matonis? Tamad lema titnu, therefore the pasuk says you should give, so therefore titnu truma from those we learn the mukdoshin and the cholin. So we see that, so this Tana learns all of them from a pasuk that in context is talking about the shoik of the shlomim, but it mentions over there the right one, and from extra words in the pasuk we learn also that it applies to other cases as well.
Titnu
means anything that you're giving to the kohen should be from the right side.
Because
titnu means you should give, and it's mentioned and mentions in connection with shoik hayomim, so therefore it means the right side. Then we said, "Ezer lechi min aperek shal lechi v'ad pikas shav ragedus." We said, "What is the definition of lechi?" It runs from the joint, from the jaw joint, until the thyroid cartilage. So the question is, well, Tanya, we learn in a braisa that it's more than that. No flow of base shchita ima, that you take the lechi together with the place of the shchita, which implies that you go much deeper in the neck, much further below the thyroid cartilage, and you give that to the kohen. The answer is like kasha, har rabbanon v'har rab chanina ben antignus. Our Mishnah is going according to the rabbanon, and the braisa is going according to rab chanina ben antignus, namely that rab chanina ben antignus holds that there's a place that you're able to shecht much higher up than the Chachamim say. We learned about this in the first parak, about when we talk about the concept of Hagrama, that there's an upper boundary and a lower boundary beyond which you can't shecht. But we said, Rav Chanan ben Antignus holds that upper boundary is much higher than the Chachamim say. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, Mugremes Psula, an animal that was Mugremes, where the shechita was done too high up or too low down or on an angle or whatever on the neck, is possible. On the other hand, but one second, that's a general statement, but Heid Rav Chanina ben Antignus al Mugremes Sheik Sheira, but Rav Chanina ben Antignus gave Eidos about Mugremes that it is kosher. Now, he didn't mean in an absolute sense.
No.
Even he agrees that Hagroma is one of the five things that passes Shrita. But in other words, he holds, we learned over there, we had opinions that say that you can't check in the thyroid cartilage, or you can't check above the bump of it or whatever, and Rav Chanina ben Antignus holds that there's a higher point. So therefore, Rav Chanina ben Antignus would call that area Beis HaShchita. So the Braisa is not arguing with our Mishnah how far down you have to give to the Kohen. The argument is just, would you be able to shecht conceivably in that place? Our Mishnah is implying that not. Rav Chanina ben Antignus is implying that yes.
But he agrees
on the actual, for purposes of Zorah L'Chayayim B'Keva, Matanis, that it ends there, right? Okay, the boy is saying, "Mahava harabanan," or you could say that the braisa is also according to the chachamim, not Rav Chanina ben Antignus. Or my ima de behema. You're assuming that when the braisa says noifa, that he takes it or beis shchita ima, and the place of the shchita is with it. You're assuming that it means the matanis, and that's why you're asking that there seems to be a contradiction. No, ima means the place of the shchita remains with the rest of the animal. So therefore, you stop above the possible place where you can shecht. You go down to pika shavogeras until the thyroid cartilage. You can't shecht over there. Anything below that, which is the area that you can shecht, remains by the owner. Ima, it stays with the rest of the animal and belongs and stays by the owner. So in other words, so there's no contradiction. So both the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying the same thing, just in different words.
I'm not sure I understand.
Okay, because in other words, what we said, noitva ubeis shchita im, you take it and the beis shchita is with it. So we assume that then you take the lechi and along with it comes the beis shchita and you give the whole thing to the kohen. Now we're saying noitva means you take the lechi down to the thyroid cartilage and then the beis shchita remains with it. The actual place of the neck where you can check. Yeah. Okay. Hadron alach hazor el alach.